Hosanna, a Fellowship of Christians.
As you know, Joanne and I do most of the talking up here when it comes to teaching, but we're not the only ones, and there are other voices we'd like to hear from. Last week, I got to share the platform and the message with Francesco Caparuso on hearing God. Thank you for everybody who's been so wonderfully appreciative of Francesco's message. We got an awful lot of feedback for that, and I appreciate Francesco joining me on that. This week, we have the world-renowned author and speaker, Patty Tingen. And I joke only a little. Patty is quite the author, and she doesn't toot her own horn a whole lot here. But I will toot it for her and call attention to the fact that she's got several books. They are excellent books, and they get a lot of attention. And she's on Amazon and is like right up there underneath Stephen King or somebody in terms of popularity. She's Patty always says something that is wise and deep and good for us. Patty, would you come and share?
Thank you very much. Well, good morning. Well, I don't know about all of you, but I'm loving this one service format. I like that we can all worship together as one body. And as your messenger this morning, I'm grateful for the opportunity to teach one time. Because teaching once is less tiring than teaching twice. And these days, I welcome anything that is less tiring. If you've been here over the past couple months, you know that Tony and Joanne have been teaching about season 4, Weathering. Well, when they asked me about 4 months ago if I'd like to teach this summer, I had no idea that they'd be teaching on that topic. I wasn't using that term, but the concept I had for my message was nearly identical. So I had already written most of this message prior to hearing their teachings. So every week I'd be sitting there thinking, well, that's what I was going to say. I'm using that scripture reference. And then I saw it from a different perspective. One, I figure I'm keeping pretty good company with Tony and Joanne, but also with the Holy Spirit, who obviously inspired their words as well as mine. And two, clearly, this seems to be a message that God wants spoken to the people of Hosanna at this particular time. So please don't tune out if something I say sounds familiar, like you've already heard it. Maybe you need to hear it again. And if you don't, maybe the person sitting next to you does. So here's my take on season 4. We can call it Weathering 2.0. People often tell me that I never change. Well, my outward appearance might look similar, but let me tell you, inside, I'm getting older. Many days, I need to think so hard at my job that my brain literally hurts. That, coupled with life circumstances, has left me feeling tired, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Life has a way of doing that to us, no matter what our age. Hurts, disappointments, illness, loss, fill in the blank. Life can wear us out. And sometimes it wears us out to the point where we just feel done. End of the road, worn out, just plain done. Been there? Maybe you're there now. If not, you probably have been, or you will be at some point in the future. For me, I've been there to one degree or another for about the past 2 years. Prior to that, as many of you know through my teachings and my books, which I'm not up there next to Stephen King, just to point out, but thank you, appreciate that. My husband Doug and I had trusted God through some really difficult circumstances. We were in season 4 for, I'd say, about 15 years. And though we were deeply disappointed with the final outcome, God saw us through to the other side. And in many ways, he did create diamonds from the rough stones that we were at the beginning. Then several years later, we trusted God again. And this time, I was more certain than ever that the end result would bring overflowing abundance and joy, with the angels themselves rejoicing and singing right along with us. Because that's how it's supposed to work, right? You go through the weathering season. You follow God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see it through to the end, and you keep rejoicing and keep trusting, even when everything goes wrong and nothing works out like you thought it would. But then the next time, that's when you get the reward you've been waiting for, made all the sweeter from what you endured the first time around, right? So there we were, ready to cross the finish line. Let the party and the celebrations begin. And then in an instant, it all fell apart. No joy, no singing, just the same old disappointment and sense of failure we had come to know so well. And I was stunned and numb to my very core. How did we possibly end up here again? What about all the confirmations? What about the prophetic words spoken over us? What about all the times God kept us going by making a way where there seemed to be no way? He could have stopped us at any point. I didn't understand. You know the old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's how I felt. Like I was tricked by God. I was so deeply disappointed, I had nothing left. I couldn't pray, I couldn't worship, I was just done. Like a sucker punch to the gut. I found myself relating to the stages of grief that I learned many, many years ago in a college sociology class. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. The bargaining phase not so much, but definitely the other four. And these are common ways that we react in times of loss. Whether it's the physical death of a loved one, the loss of a job, the end of a dream, in our case, or any countless number of other situations where we may find ourselves, we cycle through these or similar stages. And they're not necessarily linear. We might initially move through them in this order, but maybe not. Or we may have reached acceptance, and then in a heartbeat, we find ourselves right back in shock and denial, unable to comprehend what just happened to us. It's a process, and it's individualized, and it can go on for a long time. And none of us should judge each other for our reaction to the weathering season or for the length of time it may take us to work our way through it. And let me just say, our circumstances pale in comparison to things that many of you have been through or other stories that I've read or heard about. I have so much to be thankful for. Yet at the same time, some days it can be a struggle just to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Sadly, some people find that they can't go on. When they reach that breaking point, some folks walk away from God completely, or they leave the church and end relationships with other believers because it's just too hard. I had never fully understood that, but I do now. Because why would you want to worship a God that would allow hurt and disappointment to that degree? Now, that's not a question that could even be asked in many churches, and certainly not from the platform. But Hosanna is a place where real people can bare their souls. It's a place where honesty can have its say. It's also a community where hearts are mended and where broken people are made whole again. And that's why I'm still standing here. Because like Peter, where else would I go? I knew and know to the very core of my being that Jesus is the Holy One of God and that God is the only one who can bring life and hope out of darkness. But sometimes it's just hard to believe, isn't it? Like right away, I knew what the correct response was to our situation. God sees the whole picture and you just see a little part of it. His ways are higher than yours. Or in simpler terms, he's God and you're not. Well, I did not find that to be a satisfying answer by any stretch. Is that it? That's all I'm going to get? You're God and I'm not? I need something more than that. And I pretty much heard silence in return. Over time, I was reminded that Job had expressed a similar sentiment, and that God had made clear to him over 4 chapters and 129 verses that God was God and Job was not. What makes me think I should be any more special than Job? I still have some work to do, but I also recognize that, like Job, I need to say, surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. Or in the words of Jesus, you have no idea how God works. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? So we're left with mystery, but we're not alone. Hebrews 11 recounts and celebrates the biblical heroes of faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, and so many others. Hebrews gives a brief synopsis of their stories along with some of the results and how their faith affected their own lives as well as countless others. And then it says something really interesting. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. The end of the chapter says, none of them received all that God had promised. What? Even the Hall of Fame heroes of the Bible didn't get everything they had been promised? That's both comforting and frustrating at the same time. But here's the explanation. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. See, it's one great big giant journey of faith for all of us. Old Testament heroes being celebrated by those living during the New Testament times. And on it goes, year after year, century after century, all of us running this great life of mystery, individually, yet as a group, separate from each other, yet joined and linked together by our shared faith in the one who loves us most. Continuing into chapter 12, Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We're not alone in this journey. Yet that's the temptation when we're feeling weathered. When we're tired and broken and hurt and disappointed and worn out, we just want to crawl in a hole by ourselves and pull the cover over us. We don't get everything we want. We don't get everything we've been promised, at least not yet. But it's because we're not in this life just for ourselves. If I had gotten what I wanted, I wouldn't be up here giving this message because I wouldn't be able to relate to it the way I can now. So if my story helps even just one of you, then it's worth it. Because you're worth it. And because your story is going to help someone else. Whether you tell your story in a church or at a family gathering or over the backyard fence. In looking up the stages of grief online to remember them, because college was a long time ago, I found that a co-author of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, David Kessler, has written a new book in which he discovers a sixth stage of grief, meaning. And I thought, yeah, I really like that. There's something beyond acceptance that keeps us going and gives us hope. It's finding meaning and purpose to what we've been through. It's knowing that our experience can help someone else in their journey. Our theme for this year is a church for the whole life. And I had thought of whole, meaning entire. We need a church that teaches and encourages and challenges us, a church that carries us through our entire lives. We also need a faith for the whole life. Our faith changes as we go through the years and as we experience both successes and challenges. We need a faith that keeps hoping, keeps believing, and keeps trusting until we take our final breath. But there's another meaning to whole, and it applies just as well. We also need a church and a faith for the made well, healed, restored, mended life. After the weathering season, we need to be made whole again. And Hosanna, with its life-giving tree logo, is a church for the whole life. So now, I missed a paragraph. Okay. I wouldn't want to do church or life with any other group of people. We're in this faith journey for the long haul, together. Philippians tells us to press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So now, we're going to listen to a song by Billy Spragg called Press On. The lyrics reflect a time in Billy's life when he was very much in a weathering season. Some days, it was all he could do to tie his shoes, but he kept pressing on. In large part, because he wasn't alone. He had friends who carried him along, and that's what the people of Hosanna do for each other. The worship team would have loved to perform this song, but due to vacations and VBS, they just weren't able to fit in the practices. But if you close your eyes and picture Rick McKinney playing the harmonica, you'll be right there. We've got to keep going together. And something that keeps us going is hearing one another's stories. And there is just something healing about saying what we're going through out loud. As I was putting this message together and practicing it and then giving it, I could feel like my soul opening up and the healing starting. So if your heart is pounding right now, maybe there's something that God wants you to get out and share it in this safe place. So for the rest of the service, we're just going to take some time to have an open mic time. You can either come up to the front to that mic or raise your hand and Jeff will bring the mic to you. If you're currently in a weathering season and you need some hope and encouragement, please share a bit of your story and your current struggles. Or if you're in a good place right now, please tell us what helped you get through a time of weathering that you might have had in the past. So we're looking for both ends of the spectrum. So just go ahead, raise your hand or come on up and be brief so that a number of people can share if they'd like to. So go ahead. Oh, my husband, Doug.
I'm sorry you're going to have to go through this, but you've listened to Patty enough. But I'm sorry. It was a lovely message, and you've heard about our family enough. That's what I'm trying to say. But I wanted to give some perspective on the other side. There's Patty who helped me through these processes and these problems and whatever, and I always felt like the one with the problem. And so this is for people who always feel like I'm the problem, I'm the one who's taking up people's time or love or energy or what have you. And there was a young, I always tell stories, so bear with me. There was a young girl named Frances Gum, and she went on to have this incredible talent. She sang and danced and acted, and she became Judy Garland. And Judy Garland went on to make films and do different things, but she also became addicted to medication and had a really terrible life and died at 47. At the very end of Judy Garland's life, she has nothing. She is making calls herself because she doesn't have an agent. And she's talking to a young girl, and she says, you know, I want this job and so forth. And she says, the girl says, you know, I've heard that Judy Garland is really difficult to work with. And Judy Garland says, do you know how hard it is to be Judy Garland? And sometimes it's like that in life. Do you know how hard it is? I remember walking up through here a few years ago with Joanne and Patty, and I said, I'm tired of being the problem. God has shown me through Ezekiel, I think it's 37. Tony's behind me, so I can't look at him. It's about the valley of the dry bones. And after this last thing that happened, the failure that happened, I felt like the dry bones. And so I have read this and read this and read this many times, and the Lord is beginning to put those bones together. And the first thing that happens when that happens is ligaments come together for bone to bone. And I think that's a painful process. And so it's a painful process. But I wanted to say to you people who are you believe that you are the problem, no matter what happens, God loves you right now. As much as he will love you for whatever wonderful, great thing that you believe you're going to do or are called to do. God loves us right now just as much. And I finally got a hold of that and understood that. And so that was part of my healing process. And I thank you for listening. And you've done wonderfully, dear.
Thank you.
I'll try to keep this short because this isn't just for me with what I'm saying. You know, we often look at the hurts, the heartaches, circumstances of life. Sometimes we cause them. Sometimes others around us cause them to us. And sometimes the Lord just says it's your time to go through the valley. Sometimes we're quiet. Sometimes we talk too much. We're looking for someone else to give us the answers. Joseph waited 20-some years until he finally had the things that he was promised through dreams. Moses, 40 years. What's it take? The Lord shared me something more recently in my own life. And this is where I'm going to get prophetic on you. He said, Dave, look behind you. You've been teachable. You've been moldable. You've been shaped. You've been ground. You've been refined. Look behind you. Look at your pathway. And figuratively, this is working in each of your lives. What's growing behind you? Is the Garden of Eden following you? It can't be taken from you. The enemy can't take it from you. It's being restored. It's being built up. You have a river of life that's falling behind you. Allow him to water it. See the flowers growing, beautiful trees, and the brightness of light. A pathway you can go back through all your traumas and your hurts, your suffering. Others may not identify with it on the outside of you, but can you trust that that's what's working and walking out through your life?
Thanks, Steve. Anybody else? Donna.
Thank you, Dave, for that, because a few months ago, or a month or two ago, we took a class in how to write our stories. Thank you, Jane. It's opened up a whole new world for me, because I didn't know. People always say, oh, you should write a book. I have experiences. I have travels. I have funny stories. But I never really looked at my journey. I never really looked. And when I did my Ignatian exercise, it was an opening, a beginning of self-introspection. And when Dave said, look behind you, that's exactly what I did. And I realized that the five stages of grief start with denial. And I always thought I had the perfect upbringing. My daddy had an ice cream and candy store. How much better can it be? You know, I needed a note from mom to go get that candy, but she was the boss. But I never realized that there was a past that followed me. But when I look back today after having spent time on my timeline, I realize that in the Bible it talks about the dross. It talks about refining silver. And when I look behind me, I see the dross. I see that God is preparing me and getting me ready to be beautiful again. I'm at peace with my body. I'm at peace. And a friend of, and we talked about this in our group yesterday, and I so feel that if we hang in there, if we keep running that race, we are going to get where we need to be. Yeah, it's not pretty all the time, but it is so worth it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Thank you so much. And Sean is going to close us out.